You're listening to 95.7 KQWC, Webster City's Classic Hits. Now it's time to join sports director Quinn Douglas and former ESPN and NFL media executive John Marvel for Lynx Huddle at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City.
And good morning and welcome to another edition, our final regular season edition of Lynx Huddle presented by Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. Sports Director Quinn Douglas here on this Friday morning, as it is, well, what if, I guess you can say what a difference a week makes. Last week we were talking about the possibility of rain and humid conditions, temperatures in the low 70s, and now we wake up this morning, frost is outside. That's just how it goes here in the state of Iowa when it comes to fall, and it definitely feels like playoff football tonight. And it is, I guess you can call it a de facto playoff game for the Webster City Lynx tonight as they go on the road to take on MOC Floyd Valley in Class 3A District 1 action. There are a couple scenarios that the Lynx have to watch play out to see if they can maybe find themselves into the postseason. We'll have to wait and see, of course, wait until tonight to figure out who the qualifiers are and what the results are from other games, not only in Class 3A District 1, but around Class 3A as well. But we'll touch on that coming up later on in the program. Of course, Webster City coming off of a big victory last week over Algona by a final 35-21 as Webster City got their second district win, and I guess you can say they're 2-0 against their NCC rivals in district play here in 2025. Whereas a year ago they were 0-2, so no question, I think the Lynx are happy about that, at least in terms of, you know, in terms of the you know, competing against a conference school, if you will. But obviously a win tonight against MOC Floyd Valley could make things definitely even more interesting with a possible playoff berth at stake. Take a look at some of the highlights from week four. Number one I have written down is the offense capitalized on short fields quite a bit against Algona. Well, a lot of that is because of turnovers short punts. Also, some of it is from some great returns. Jackson Griffith, in particular, had an excellent night returning kicks against Algona last week, and that helped set up some short fields and allow the Webster City offense to operate very efficiently on a Friday night against the Bulldogs. So that was definitely one area. Like I said, a handful of drives started on the plus side of the 50 for Webster City, and also did a good job of running off clock on the longer drives they had offensively on Friday night. Number two was pressuring the quarterback all night long. Goes without saying, Eli Eslin, one heck of a ball game. Three sacks, ties a school record for Eli Eslin. He was really, really good. But also, that is also a credit to how well that front seven played, applying pressure on Algona throughout the night. Algona was able to hit a couple big plays, but that kind of ties in to our third point. The pass defense stiffened when they absolutely needed to most. They got stops in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, and that is a big part of what allowed Webster City to come away with a victory on Friday night on the defensive side of the football. They got the stops when they needed to, forced incompletions, forced timing to be off on those on passing downs for Algona. And again, that was a huge reason that Webster City was able to come away with a big victory on Friday night to at least for now keep their postseason hopes alive. But like we talked about, we got to take care of business tonight before we get even further into the weeds on that topic with MOC Floyd Valley tonight. Long trip up into Sioux County in northwestern Iowa tonight for the Lynx. Well over 2 hours. Made that drive up to Sioux Center back during for state soccer. You take about 10 or 15 minutes off. You're not going all the way to Sioux Center, but Orange City, no question, is quite a trip. We'll have that game, of course, tonight right here over on AM 1570 KZWC or streaming online on KQRadio.com. Again, we are live here at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City until 8:50 this morning, so come on out if you got time this morning to come get some coffee. That's been kind of popular. It's got cold outside coffee. Hot chocolate has been a popular one. I've been hearing them yell out this morning as well. So if you got time, come on out, check out the program. Come say hi to Coach and I, and come enjoy some made-to-order breakfast, some hot coffee, hot chocolate, whatever you may want here to warm you up here on this chilly Friday morning. With that, we'll bring head coach Andy Brim on here on this Friday morning. Coach, good morning. Great win last week, and let's see if we can finish things off with a winning streak here to end the regular season.
Yeah, no doubt. Yep, week 9 already, so football weather in the air, so it should be a great night for some high school football.
And cold weather, that makes it a fun night for physical football, which is obviously what your football team wants to do, and we'll touch on tonight here in a little bit. But, of course, last week's game with Algona, obviously a pivotal one, and you know emotions running a bit higher, obviously, with it being senior night. But your team comes out, and I think comes out swinging right out of the gate, put together a long touchdown drive. You know, you've got Algona backed up against the wall, forcing a punt, getting a blocked punt as well. You go up 14-0. It just how did that set the tone for your football team throughout the remainder of the game, getting able to go up 14-0?
Well, yeah, that's huge for us. I mean, if we can come out and we can control the game and play our speed and style right away, that's a huge benefit to us. And kind of forced Algona's hand a little bit to try to play catch up from the very beginning. So that obviously works in our favor. I thought the kids did a great job being ready to play right away. Like you mentioned, our first drive was key there, and then got a stop on defense, and we were able to score again. Algona was able to answer and strike fast, and that's kind of been our Achilles heel, is giving up the big pass plays. But our kids, they don't pout, they keep their head up, and they keep coming back, and we just, as we adjust, we get better and better and better as the game goes on.
And, you know, you talk about that, those pass plays. There were some of them for Algona, but they were few and far between. Your defensive line and your linebackers did a great job of applying pressure on the quarterback. Obviously, we talked about Eli Esslin, 3 sacks, but I think you'll be the first to say that, you know, that is a product of how well the unit played altogether, because there were numerous guys that were in on the quarterback from start to finish throughout the ballgame.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you hear me say it every week. It's team defense, so it's the guys in the back end doing their job as far as coverage goes. And then the front working together to make sure that they're where they need to be. So we try to be very sound defensively as far as being in the appropriate spot and the appropriate gap. So, you know, the guy that gets the credit isn't necessarily the guy that makes the play all the time. But it's just – it's, and I don't think the kids really care. I mean, obviously the kids are happy for Eli. That's a single-game sack record. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's everybody working together.
Mm-hmm. And obviously – you know, we talked about the you know getting pressure, and then really in the third and fourth quarter as well. You know, you talk about those long pass plays, but an Achilles here. But your team did an excellent job, I thought, down the stretch, getting the stops they needed to, even when they weren't getting pressure on the quarterback, forcing incomplete passes, so on and so forth, and just being able to get those stops down the stretch. You know, what kind of improvements does that show from the defense, especially on the back end? They're able to force the incompletions towards the end of the game.
Well, I mean, honestly, the big thing in that game was we were able to force Algona's hand a little bit, and they're playing from behind, and so that makes it, I don't want to say easier on your defense, but it's a little bit more predictable where they're going to go and what they're going to do, and then that makes it a little bit, you have a better idea of where the ball is going to go, and then you can kind of adjust from there, and you're more alert for certain things. So in my mind, that's really what it was. And I know Algona's last scoring drive, I think the kids were a little defeated, but I told them, I said, you know, there's really nothing wrong with that at this point. You know, we've still got a 2-score lead, and they're taking time off the clock. So sometimes you got to be willing to look at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm.
And I think a part of the game that really I think was a huge part that maybe a lot of people overlooked was the special teams. You know, we talked about the punt block from Aiden Hernicek. Jackson Griffith, I thought, had a couple of excellent returns that set up shorter scoring drives that allowed you guys to move the ball efficiently from the plus side of the 50. And I thought the special teams unit, I thought, had its best game of the year on Friday night against Algona.
Yeah, they did a nice job. Aiden had a blocked punt. The first punt from Algona, they had a bad snap, and It probably lucky that it was a bad snap, because that allowed the punter to pick up the ball and kind of scramble a little bit. He actually did get it kicked, but we had that blocked. But if he wouldn't have had the bad snap, that was going to be a blocked punt probably for a touchdown. So, yeah, I thought the kids did a good job. Kick return game, they've done a nice job with that. Gavin Weinkoop also had a great return on a short kick and knew where to get the ball, where the blockers were going to be, and that was huge.
As we shift our attention to tonight's matchup with the MOC Floyd Valley, they come in. It feels like a football team that's pretty similar to you guys, a physical football team up front, wanting to run the football. That's their MO with, of course, Dylan Mazdom, they're an 1,100-yard rusher for the Dutchmen. And they've got a big offensive line as well up front. And at least from the defensive perspective, when you break down this MOC Floyd Valley offense, what stands out to you about their physicality and about the way they run the football? football.
Well, you got to know where Moslem's at. You know, he's the key to their offense. He's what makes them go. So just keying on him and making sure that we are sound defensively and play good team defense and have our eyes where they're supposed to be and be in the gap you're supposed to be in, and I think we'll be all right.
And obviously with MOC Floyd Valley as well, another long road trip, but this is something this team is obviously used to at this point with a couple of long road trips on the schedule. But from the offensive perspective, definitely a veteran unit they have. They've got a talented, front seven, another talented front seven, which is, the same old story we've been hearing year in and year all year with the opponents that are on your schedule. But when you from the offensive side of the football, what have you seen from the Dutchmen that stand out to you?
I mean, honestly, we got to worry about us, play our brand of football just like we have the last few weeks, be physical up front, control the line of scrimmage. They've got some good kids on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a great defensive end that he's got a full ride to go down to Kansas. He's a big kid, 6'7", and so being able to get a hat on him and make sure that we get some movement at the point of attack is going to be a key point of emphasis.
And obviously, a little bit more at stake tonight if your team's able to come away with a victory. Obviously, there's big games that involve district standings tonight as well. And I know you'll be the first to say your team needs to be the one to take care of business tonight before we start worrying about, other results and, are we going to be in? Are we not going to be in? So on and so forth. But, with situations like that, how does the staff, maybe after the game handle, with the scoreboard watching, so on and so forth?
Well, I mean, after the game, you've done everything that you can do. So, like you said, I mean, we got to take care of us. We've got to win. There's a couple of different scenarios where we get a chance at a playoff game next week. So, obviously, that would be huge for our kids, for our program. I think they deserve it. But that's really out of our hands. All we can control is what we do up in Orange City tonight. There is kind of a weird, if you really break it down, our easiest way into the playoffs is we've got to win by 17 or more, and then we need a Humboldt win by 12 points exactly, no more, no less. And then that would put us in a three-way tie and a three-way tie on the point differential. And so this year they go last alphabetically. So that would put us in. So I don't know, just it comes down to the finer details when it comes to the playoffs. But ultimately, if you take care of yourself throughout the season, that's your best way in.
Yep, absolutely. Coach, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Good luck tonight up in Orange City. Hopefully we can end the regular season with a victory.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Andy Brim, the head football coach of the Webster City Lynx here on our Lynx Huddle program presented by Morning Glory Coffee. Of course, we are live here at Morning Glory on Friday mornings throughout the football season here in the regular season. Like we said, we might have a postseason show. You never know. Have to see how results play out on Friday night. But first and foremost, here Coach Brim talk about take care of what you can take care of tonight with Webster City taking on MOC Floyd Valley. As taking a look here at the keys to the game tonight here for Webster City, obviously number one, and you heard Coach Brent talk about it, got to identify where Dylan Mosdom is at all times. An 1,100-yard rusher is one of the top running backs in Class 3A. Seems to be a common theme that Webster City is going up against some of the top backs in 3A, but you also look back to how the Lynx were able to play against Kaysen Thomas a couple weeks ago against Sioux Center. That's, a good reference point to what this Webster City defense can do against a feature back like a Dylan Mosdom in a game scenario like this. Number two, applying pressure for Webster City on Carson Carmichael, the quarterback for MOC Floyd Valley. He's got 3 touchdown passes on the year, 9 interceptions, so Carmichael is prone to turning the football over. If Webster City can find ways to apply pressure here to Carson Carmichael, force the ball out earlier than he wants to, I think the defensive backs and the linebackers could have a good day in terms of breaking up passes, maybe even coming away here for a couple interceptions. Number three, for keys to the game, the rushing game, can it take its biggest step forward yet? Obviously, we hear Coach Brent talk about how getting better every day, getting better week to week. I think the offensive line of the rushing attack took a big step forward last week in that win over Algona. Can they take another big step, maybe the biggest step forward this week? And like we talked about, come away with a win and a decisive win at that against MOC Floyd Valley again. Webster City wins by 17 or more. They put themselves into position to perhaps get into the playoffs for in Class 3. They need a Humboldt points, or Humboldt win by 12 points exactly. Now, that is out of their hands. They can only control what they can control. Can Webster City, but if Webster City can find a way to do that, they put themselves in position to come away with a victory Come away with a victory here, a victory and a playoff berth on Friday night. As we take a look here, we'll talk a little bit more about this playoff scenario here for Webster City in Class 3A. Got the RPI pulled up here on our on the computer I have here. Webster City currently sitting 19th in the RPI here in Class 3A, 3-5 record. I know that, that looks definitely out of place, but when you look at, you know, the opponent's one loss record, you know, 70% winning percentage. The next closest in Class 3A, as I look here, is Benton Community. Theirs is just a hair below 64%, but Webster City, they've got a pretty clear advantage of their opponent's record, really propping them up, and rightfully so, with the schedule the Webster City's played. I think if you put Webster City in any other district, their record is above 500. I think they're in the playoffs. You put them in almost any other district in Class 3A, maybe outside of District 2. I feel pretty confident about Webster City, where they could be a postseason team. And I think if they do make the postseason, they're a team that could give whoever they play a lot of fits in the postseason. As scenario one, you heard Coach Brim and I talk about that. You know, Humboldt defeats Sioux Center, sending second place into a three-way tiebreaker. If Webster City wins by 14-17, Webster City wins by 17 points or more, and Humboldt has to win by 12 points exactly. Webster City will win the tiebreaker, as it will go to. It will go to pretty much alphabetical from there, and Webster City would win that tiebreaker on account they're lower in the alphabet. That's how it would play out, and that's how Webster City could get in as an automatic qualifier as a second-place finisher in Class 3A District 1. Scenario 2, at-large berth. Now, this one is a little less likely. There's a lot of uncertainties, between the final at-large berth and Webster City. I'm not saying it won't happen, but it's not as likely to happen as Scenario 1. And it's result dependent. There's a district championship game, a de facto district championship game tonight in District 6 between Carroll and Atlantic. Atlantic sits at 14. Carroll sits at 20th. Pretty much, someone's going to be a bid stealer out of that Class 3A District 6. Whether Carroll is the one that comes away with a victory tonight, whether Atlantic's the one that comes away with a victory, someone is going to be out of that District 6, going to be outside of that top 16. It will have that bid stealer. They'll be a bid stealer in Class 3A District 6. I know that's kind of a terminology you hear a little bit more towards March Madness, but it does apply here with the RPI here for the at-large berths here in the Class 3A playoffs. Another one to watch tonight, Mount Vernon and Assumption Davenport. That is a battle of District 3 teams. They're right next to each other. As a matter of fact, they're right above one another in the RPI above Webster City, as Assumption sits at 17, Mount Vernon right above Webster City at 18. It's going to be interesting to see who wins that ball game and how far they move up. And I think whoever loses that game will obviously fall below Webster City, and they'll be out of a playoff berth. But that'll be interesting to see how far they move up between those two, whoever wins that ball game tonight out in Eastern Iowa. We talked about Humboldt Sioux Center in the implications that have, but it could have implications as well in the RPI as well, if Sioux Center is to come away with a victory tonight over at Mason or over in Sioux Center. And the last one to watch, Iowa Falls Alden and Benton Community. That is a big one to watch tonight as well. Benton currently sitting number 12. I think they are the last team in right now as it stands in Class 3A. Iowa Falls Alden, they've been close a couple of times this year with teams not named West Delaware and Clear Lake, obviously, but there's no question that if IFA can pull off a big win over Benton Community, that helps Webster City out as well. And there's one more I forgot. Winterset and Des Moines Christian is another one to watch in terms of Winterset is sitting 13th. DMC is 8th. They're pretty comfortably in the playoffs. If DMC gets a win over Winterset, how far does Winterset fall in the RPI? Again, that's all going to come out tonight. As soon as all games are done, they'll have the RPI calculated from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We should know before most people go to bed tonight whether or not Webster City's in the playoffs or not. With that wraps up our Lynx Huddle program here on this Friday morning here from Morning Glory Coffee in Webster City. Hope we're here next week talking to folks for a playoff edition of Lynx Huddle presented by Morning Glory Coffee. If not, it's been a fun ride this year. Been a fun first year here at Morning Glory Coffee. I want to shout out John from Morning Glory for being a great host and for helping put together this idea of having a morning game day show here for Webster City football. And like I said, if we're not here again for the playoffs, I hope we can have the chance to do this again next year, because I've had a lot of fun with it. I really enjoyed it. I hope Coach Brim's enjoyed it. I'd have to ask him. I haven't quite asked him. I hope he's enjoyed it. And I know the folks here in Winter Glory have enjoyed it as well. That's going to do it for us here on our Friday morning edition, or Week 9 edition of Link's Huddle, presented by Morning Glory Coffee at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. We'll take you to a break next, and coming up, we got the top of the hour here in just a little bit. Here on 95.7 KQWC.